and Lee on the winning side of both of those. The Oregon's a route of Nevada 77-6, and Baltimore trouncing the Dolphins. Lee with a combined 95 units in those two games. And this week, Lee, I know you've got another big play, a 45-unit college football release as well. I hope you've had a great week to this point, and as always, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, winning kind of softened the blow of the Dolphins. I mean, that was, I mean, I want to tank, but that was disgusting.
And look, when you have players already, you know, calling their agents after the game, hey, we want out of here. It wasn't like they were waiting around to Monday. No, they were probably doing it from the locker room. We want out.
Oh, and then they denied it. I mean, it's the lies. I don't think people have a problem with rebuilding. It needed to be done years ago. The problem is, you know, when Flores goes on, Brent Flores makes a statement last Friday that this is a good team. You know, everyone knew it was a lie. And then you hold three of your top four players on defense out and only allow them to play less than half the plays. You know, you want to at least be competitive. I mean, these fans are paying big money for these tickets. And, you know, they're putting out CFL players right now.
I mean, with that said, I mean, it's not one of the games we're going to be talking about, but they're, you know, Dolphins at home, 19-point underdogs to New England, you know, and we see the Patriots win by 30 against the Pittsburgh Steelers in week one. You just assume, oh, yeah, this is going to be easy. I don't think so, actually. This is one of those games I think we'll see pro players actually play for Miami this week. They're not going to win, but I don't see New England blowing them out, per se.
It might be tough. Here's what's going on. There could be a weather front that hits Miami, and it really could affect the game. So if you like Miami like I do a little bit, I'm going to wait until Saturday night. There's an 80% chance of rain. Even the weather mucked up the game enough for Tampa Bay to win last night. So I think weather could be a big factor. And also Brian Flores coached there for, I think, like 8, 9, 10 years. So that's a big factor in the game.
Hey, by the way, we already have – I don't know about you. I do not like college football games on Friday nights. I think Friday nights should be left to the high school.
I agree.
We have – but here's one thing. We've got one game involving two teams from the ACC, but it's not a conference game per se. First ever non-conference game between two ACC teams as North Carolina, Wake Forest. One of these teams is going to be 3-0 after tonight.
Yeah, and a little surprising, especially North Carolina. You know, they were a double-digit underdog to South Carolina, pulled off that upset, and then Miami last week. Only problem with North Carolina is they've taken some big injuries. They lost their top cornerback, and, you know, when you face a receiver like Washington for Wake Forest, who's 6'5", they're going to have some matchup problems here.
Hey, let's talk about what I was alluding to before you joined us, the fact that last week the combined 95 units with those two big plays.
Yeah, it's incredible. We've had some big weeks before, but never had two games that we released and both of them being the biggest blowout. So we had Oregon 77-6 over Nevada, and then Baltimore 59-10. Combined, yeah, they were 31 points, but they won by 71 and 49. So we're 120 points. So We did a good job. We're proud of ourselves. But, you know, this week's a new week. And I found another game in college football. I think the Lions off by 3 touchdowns. So we're going to release it as a 45-unit play. Anyone wants to get the game, just go to ParamountSports.com right now.
All right, let's get things started. First up, this is an intriguing game. Yeah, Middle Tennessee State looked good in week one in that loss on the road to Michigan last week. Look, it was a three-quarter game. And then the fourth quarter, Middle Tennessee – certainly with more manpower than Tennessee State, pulls away and they win that game. You get Duke at home coming to Murfreesboro coming up on Saturday. Duke, a 6.5-point favorite. There's two ways of looking. I mean, in my heart, I want Coach Rick Stockstill and MTSU to pull this win out. I think that 42-3 loss to Alabama, a little bit misleading in week one for Duke. I think Duke, look, they're not going to blow out MTSU, but I think they can win by 7 to 10 points or so. I'm going to take Duke, give the 6.5. Alan Bell, he feels like Stockstill will have the home surprise for David Cutcliffe and Duke. He's going the opposite side. He's taking MTSU plus the 6.5.
I'd love to take Middle Tennessee. I think just the problem here is the matchups. And the kids from Middle Tennessee play hard. I mean, you watch them. They do not quit, but they allowed almost 500 yards last week to Tennessee Tech. And they lack quick strike capability on offense. And that's how you beat Duke. Duke held Alabama to 3.5 yards per carry, which is really impressive here. And they have a young quarterback going to have to start this game. And just think that Duke, you know, plays better on the road. People think of Duke, you know, a better home team. Not the case. 7-3 against the spread on the road. 19-6 against the spread versus non-conference opponents. Duke might need to win this game to become bowl eligible. I think they get it, 38-24.
Next up, you got the Florida Gators trying to end that losing streak to the Kentucky Wildcats. I say it because until last year, Florida had a 31-game winning streak against Kentucky. In week two, Kentucky goes to Gainesville and snaps that losing streak. This game will be tomorrow night. It's in Lexington. And look, I understand that Florida probably on paper, top to bottom, more talent than Kentucky. There's a ranked Florida team here. But for whatever reason, Kentucky plays Florida really close. To me, the streak should have come to an end 2 years ago in Lexington, but you can't, you know, play defense with only 10 men on the field, not once but twice, allowing Florida touchdowns in those situations. But even then, still driving for a game-winning field goal. Four out of these last five were decided in the fourth quarter in these meetings between these two teams. I think Florida wins. But, you know, 8 points to me, I think a little misleading as far as the Wildcats. I think they're better than people are giving them credit for. No more Terry Wilson at quarterback. Sawyer Smith now the QB for Kentucky. I think they keep it in a one-score game. I'm taking the Wildcats plus the 8, and Alan Bell is feeling the same way. He's on my side.
I was thinking of taking Kentucky at first, and then I think the matchup and I start watching games in March, and something really stuck me. This linebacker for Kentucky, Cash Daniel, you're familiar with him? Number 56?
Yes.
The linebacker? The kid that paints his face up real good?
Yes.
Face painter? I don't want to meet this kid when you run through the hole, but let me tell you something. He has got some problems in pass coverage. You know, this is the typical announcer, they'll talk about what a great player he is, this and that. This kid does not have much of a chance to play on Sunday. I don't think he's going to get drafted, and they'll build him up. But he just can't cover kids in coverage. And Florida has three running backs out of the backfield that can really catch the ball and take off. And I don't think this kid runs a 5-flat 40 as a middle linebacker. So that's a real problem here. I thought Toledo had a chance to beat Kentucky in that game, first game of the season. Their quarterback gets hit with a late hit and sustains a concussion mid-third quarter, and the game just changed when that happened. So I think Kentucky is not as bad as I thought they'd be this year, but they're going to face a run defense allowing just 2.2 yards per carry. You know, with Felipe Franks, I would never put a big wager on this game, but I think the Gators start the winning streak and pull away late 28-17.
This next game is tough. And you know, in looking at Alabama, whoever's on their schedule, whether it was Duke in the opening week, last week against New Mexico State, first week I took Duke and the points, lose by a point. Last week I actually took Alabama, gave the points, and I would have won except for the fact that, you know, the third teamers giving up points there in the fourth quarter, and so Alabama only wins by 52 instead of their necessary 55. So this week, Alabama, for the first time playing South Carolina again, this is in Columbia, last time around, 2010. It was the first of three losses for Alabama in 2010, the reigning national champs. Is South Carolina going to shock the football world and win this game Saturday? No. But 25.5 in a conference game on the road, just based on the way that Nick Saban understands that he needs to continue to get some of the players more experienced to improve that depth, I think Bama probably wins by 21, 23. 25.5 is just a little too much. I think a South Carolina touchdown in the fourth spoils it for Bama, and that's why I'm taking South Carolina plus the 25.5. I think Alabama wins comfortably, but not by that margin. And Alan Bell on the opposite side, he feels like it's not because of Bama's offense. He feels like it's because South Carolina will not be able to score against them. That's why he's taking Bama, giving the points.
Yeah, I think this is the first time in a long time. I think it happened once last year. We disagreed on the first three or four games, and I just feel differently about this game. You know, the last time Bama visited Williams-Brice Stadium in 2010, they lost. I didn't realize that. Looked it up. Difference is Steve Spurrier was the coach. Will Muschamp. I like Will Muschamp as a defensive coordinator. I like him as a recruiter. But the bottom line is he did his team no favors here by saying that he thought he had the best team since he got there. It's like they're snake bits. Jake Bentley's gone for the year. If he was available for this game, I think they cover easy, but you need an experienced quarterback with all their blitz schemes. You watch an Alabama, you watch a TCU. I mean, they come at you. It sometimes takes me three or four games into the season to figure out all their different blitzes. So if it takes me a while. Tyler Helinski, I think who's a true freshman, it's going to take him some time. Now, I know he was in there for the spring. I watched the spring game. Think he's going to be a talent. I think he's going to be a good quarterback, but not yet. And their defense also allowed 238 yards to North Carolina. Give me Bama big, 45-10.
And look, if that happens, would I be shocked and surprised? Absolutely not. I mean, that's just the way you want with Alabama and these kind of games. It comes down to you can break it down all you want. Yeah. So with what you're saying, not going to be shocked. All right, let's turn our attention to the NFL ranks. This is an intriguing one. Houston, you know, emotionally, they thought for sure they had the game won on Monday night. In that final minute, they have the touchdown, and then they have to watch with New Orleans. Drew Brees gets them in position, 58-yarder walk-off field goal, and here's Houston starting the season 0-1. Just when, you know, 5 minutes earlier, they think they're going to celebrate with a huge win on the road against New Orleans. Here's Jacksonville. They lose their starting quarterback, Nick Foles, on a touchdown pass. He's out with a broken clavicle. Insert Gardner Minshew, who we talked about, you know, with all his outstanding play last year for Washington State. The difference is, I mean, it's great that he was 22 of 25. He wasn't expecting to play. He was expecting to hold the clipboard all afternoon. It's a different story when now you know you're the starter. And Houston's had a chance to prepare for you as well. Houston at home, thank goodness for them. If this had been a road game, I would probably look at this game entirely differently, but it's not. It's in Houston. They're giving the 8.5 to Jacksonville, and I understand Jacksonville has the stout defense and all that, but, you know, ask Kansas City about Jacksonville's defense. I think Houston wins by double digits in this one, so I'm going to take the Houston Texans at minus the 8.5. The other part, too, and this is what Alan Bell alluded to as well, Jacksonville 2-14 in their last 16 road AFC South games, and plus the fact that he doesn't really have confidence in Minshew at quarterback, he's also taken Houston.
I make that three. I don't have confidence in him either. Yeah, I mean, look good, not great, good in preseason, but he's against twos and threes, so that's a real problem. I also thought that they lost their cool. The game against Kansas City, and that was even before, you know, they had the ejection of Miles Jack. So, those numbers last week, I mean, they were sitting Kansas City in prevent defense almost the entire game once they got that lead. Romeo Crennel's D, they shut down the Jags, kept them single digits in both Houston wins last year. So, give me Houston also here, 28-13.
And then the Tennessee Titans, a chance to go up not only two games over Indianapolis, they'll also be two games up on the loser of that Houston-Jacksonville contest in the AFC South as well through these first 2 weeks. Look, it was nice. The Titans win by 30 last week, but it certainly helps when Cleveland is committing 18 penalties, 182 yards. I thought that Indianapolis played extremely well on the road in that overtime loss to the Chargers. They got pressure on Phillip Rivers. They have a chance to have a balanced attack with Brissett through the air, especially with the tight ends, along with Marlon Mack, who, by the way, through week one, leads all rushers in the NFL with his 174 yards. Last year in December against the Titans in that December 30th matchup, he came into town with 125 yards on the ground. I know it's going to be an emotional day. The Titans are retiring the jerseys of the late Steve McNair, along with Eddie George. but I still can't overcome the 18-3 in the last 21 games. If the look, I'm not going to be shocked if Tennessee pulls this out, wins by one or two. In the worst case scenario, if I'm taking the Colts plus a three, maybe it's a push. I just, you know, I'm not going to go against the numbers, though. I'm going to take Indianapolis plus the three. Allen's going the opposite way. And one of the reasons, too, because the favorite in this series has covered the last five games. So he's taken Tennessee, given the three. I'm taking the Colts plus the three.
I'm taking the three also. You know, the Colts have just dominated the series. I think they are better coached. And take nothing away from Tennessee. They had a great game plan in week one. I just think that they were watching some film. I was looking at the different groupings of the personnel. In Cleveland last year, they came out, I think, in one tight end and one running back over 71% of the time, most of any team in the NFL. Thought they would change some things up, but no, they came out with the same thing again. And I think you saw that Tennessee was ready for it. They had a great game plan. They had great blitz packages for that 11 grouping that Cleveland, you know, likes to play over and over again. I just don't think Cleveland's coached really that well. Indianapolis has playmakers on defense. You may not know their names, the average person. They don't know linebacker Darius Leonard. Kid had the most tackles in the NFL by a wide margin last year. They got a safety named Malik Hooker, who's one of the best, and Justin Houston was brought in to help that pass rush. So the coaching staff does a good job. They put them in position to win. And Kobe Brissett's got some weapons now. Jack Doyle's healthy again with Eric Ebron. Paris Campbell will be an upgrade at wide receiver. Help them out and take some of the pressure off T.Y. Hilton. And Marcus Mariota, just 20, I think it's 27 touchdowns in the last 29 games. So wrong team's favorite. Give me Indy 27-20.
All right, and for the game of the week, plus don't forget Lee with his combined 95-unit play last week, winning both of those games this week. Another big play, a 45-unit college football release. And the game of the week, Cleveland, they were a 2-point favorite Monday night against the Jets, has now shot up to 6.5 because of the fact Sam Darnold out with mono.
Right, so if you want to find out, big game for both teams. One of these teams is going to be 0-2. It's that important. So if you want to get this game, call toll-free 800-400-9741. Again, the number, 800-400-9741. And how about that? Like I said, our biggest play of the season goes this Saturday. You want to get the play, 45 units, the line's off by three touchdowns. Just go to ParamountSports.com.